Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Healthy Gut Podcast with Rebecca Coombs, the place where you can learn how to achieve a happy, healthy gut. Here's what's coming up on today's show. Hi, everyone, and welcome to our Facebook Live and live Healthy Gut Podcast interview with Dr. Alison Seebecker. Welcome to our Facebook Live and podcast, Alison.
Thank you. So great to be back with you.
Yeah, well, it's really exciting to be able to put on a Facebook Live event with you and also this live recording. And I have to kind of celebrate this. It is the 101st episode of the Healthy Gut Podcast. It's actually the final episode of season 3. It's really lovely to have you back in the show. You've been a really regular guest on the podcast. You were my very first guest I ever recorded, and here you are again to take us out for season 3, and it is just so wonderful to have you on the show. So thanks for coming on.
It's such an honor for me, and big congratulations to you. 101 episodes. 101 yeah. Times you've helped educate people about SIBO, and hopefully it's helped so many.
Well, I know it has. I get wonderful messages from people saying, thank you so much. Your podcast has really helped me learn so much about my condition. And, you know, this is something that I remember when I very first met you all those years ago, when I decided to fly to the States on my own to attend the SIBO symposium on my own, not knowing a single person that was going to be there, and hoping that I would meet you because I was just so interested in the work that you did. And I had the wonderful chance to actually meet you. And I remember chatting to you and saying, you know, I just have this compelling desire to put out as much information as I can to help people with SIBO so they can learn more and they can be empowered by their own condition and, you know, really be advocates for their own health. And you and I had a lengthy conversation about our mutual passion to help people and educate people. And so the Healthy Gut Podcast has really been able to do that. And I'm really excited to be able to share some news about something you're doing around that space as well. But it's great to get information out there that can really help people do more. And I tell you what, being armed with so much more information about my own health has really enabled me to get such better health outcomes than if I hadn't have done any of this work. So
yes, a big thanks to you. Knowledge is power, and it brings us to success.
Yes. Now, for those of you who are watching live, and I can see a whole bunch of you have jumped on live to watch, this is an interactive live Q&A with Dr. Alison Seebecker. So do put your comments in the question box, and then I will do my very best to get as many of them answered today. So, you know, please feel free to ask a question. Just a reminder, though, that we don't delve into kind of very personal medical cases because Dr. Alison Seebecker doesn't know your medical history. But we can talk more generally, more broadly about questions. So just if you can remember that when you post those questions. So one of the things that I think is one of the most frustrating experiences for a SIBO patient is when they go to a doctor and they say, I think I've got SIBO, I've read about it, or I've, you know, attended one of the many webinars, or I've listened to the Healthy Gut Podcast. I'd really like to get tested for it. And their doctor is quite dismissive and says, oh, SIBO is not a thing, the tests aren't accurate, you've just got IBS, or it's nothing, it's all in your head. What do we do? Like, what do you have any suggestions for the patient? Because I know you get many of them coming to you going, oh, I'm frustrated.
Well, it's so frustrating. It's so frustrating when that happens on all sides. I have a few thoughts. So the first thought is maybe try to find, I know this might sound mean, maybe it's time to try to find a different doctor. That's one thought, okay? And I only say that, I have other thoughts, but I only say that because there are so many well-trained practitioners in SIBO who work online at distance. So there are viable options for people. I don't know the regulations in for Australia or UK listeners, but in the US, typically we cannot prescribe if we haven't seen you in person. But there are so many natural supplements that don't need a prescription. There, at least in the US, I think in Australia, you can actually order your own breath test. So if you got somebody, if you got somebody who's at distance, they can advise and you can implement without a local prescribing doctor. And so that's one of the things that I would think about. And it's only for people, I mean, now that we all are dealing with COVID, most platforms, most physicians and such have moved to telemedicine. So it's more acceptable now. But I just think many people don't think of doing it if someone isn't in their insurance plan or something like that. But if you're not getting the help you need, then that's an option. Now, some other options are trying, of course, to educate your practitioner. That's tricky because this depends upon the type of person they are and their ego and your relationship with them. But, you know, my first option might sound cruel. It's like, well, forget them. Well, no, you can certainly try working with them. So you can bring in articles. You can bring in information. The way that you approach someone is going to have to be tailored to their style. There are doctors who will find it threatening. There are doctors who will find it exciting. Right. So, I mean, one would think they're going, no, this is all bunk. They might already have a little something against it. But, you know, one thing you could think of doing is saying, I understand that. I'm not questioning that. It's just that I know so many people who've gone through this type of treatment that is said that it's for SIBO, who have had benefit. And I'd like to try that treatment. So and you could say something like, to me, it doesn't even matter if we're saying it's SIBO. It's just that I have very similar symptoms in case to people I know who've gone through these types of treatments and had help, and I'd like to try it. So sometimes taking away the name can help. I find that often because I myself personally really don't care what we call it. Like the name SIBO doesn't matter to me. And if somebody feels more comfortable calling that IBS, no problem. I don't care what you call it. I know what the symptoms are. I know what this condition is, and I know what treatments it responds to. So call it whatever you want. And that will often help, you know, that like just it's like, okay, fine, it's IBS, but there are these new treatments that are being used. So that's a thought. And then the third thought I have is you were just mentioning that we have a lot of educational pathways that we're both offering. And I currently right now have I have a course for patients and a course for practitioners that I've made. And I currently have them on sale right now. It's like my third quarter launch. And that's another thought is that if you are a patient, is that I pretty much created a whole course to help you to be able to DIY, do it yourself. And so I would always prefer that somebody does work with a practitioner. But if you really cannot find a way to do that, there's so much you can do yourself. And I actually, you know, gosh, I guess it's 10 years ago now, created a free educational website just on SIBO with that in mind. That was really the goal, was to get the information to people so they could help themselves. Because back then, no one knew what it was. So I knew that you could go to your doctor and not get the help you needed. So I have doses on there. I have treatments on there. That's just my website. But then I have a whole, at least for patients, if that's who we're talking about, a whole course where you can do it yourself. Of course, I have also one for practitioners. That's another thought. If your practitioner was open, you could say, if you're interested, you know, and there's a whole CME course. It all depends on your relationship. That could be very bothersome to them. But if you're, you know, if you have a good relationship, you might be able to suggest that. Sometimes doctors are excited. So those are my thoughts. Those are my thoughts. And by the way, about those courses, Rebecca, I'm sure you'll have the links for those posted somewhere.
Yeah, I will be sharing them, and I'd love to ask some more information. And before I do about the courses, I think one of the other things that I've done is, you know, been really honest with my practitioners. I have a we call them GPs in the States. They're, you know, you call them primary care physicians, and she's been very honest with me and said, I don't really know anything about the gut. It really wasn't an area of study for me. And so just slowly but surely, I have been educating her. Whenever I've gone in, I've talked to her. One of the really interesting things is that, you know, I'm so interested in the body that I regularly just get tests done to see how I'm performing. And she's seen remarkable changes with my blood work when with my SIBO treatment and my gut, just the general work I've done on the gut health and my gut repair. And that has triggered more interest with her because she's like, wow, I've never seen changes like that in such a short period of time. What are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm dealing with SIBO and I'm treating SIBO and I'm working with my gut and I'm working with a naturopath. And so it's been quite interesting that when I've been able to get some good data around my own body, that it's also helped get a conversation going so that now she's saying, tell me more, where can I learn more about this? I've got a whole bunch of patients that I would call IBS patients that I'm now questioning, is it really IBS? So, you know, if they're perhaps resistant at the start, it doesn't mean they will always be if they've at least got an open mind. And that's been really nice for me to take my own doctor along this journey with me and to be able to be more open with her. One of the other things I did,
you know, Rebecca, I just want to say that it's the sign that she's a good doctor, is that she actually cares and is interested in the fact that you're doing something that she didn't tell you to do that's helping you. And that's a good sign. And I think what so many people face is the opposite. You know, I hear these stories all the time. You go in and you say, look, I did this and I'm better. And they show no interest. And really, I think that's because of busyness, honestly. And so that's just one other tip. And I know you're going to have another one, is we often have to sort of get or encourage our doctors to work for us. I mean, I've had the same experience as a patient, because they're so busy and overwhelmed. We sort of need to take the reins and, you know, shock them back into, not really shock, but I mean, you know, bring them back into, I want to do tests. I want to investigate this. I want to figure this out. Or, you know, I'm interested in trying treatments for this, and just encourage them to put the effort in for you.
One of the things that I do regularly with my one-on-one coaching clients is and you talked about this just before, we get a good personality fit. And because I, through the podcast and through all the work I've been doing, I've had the wonderful fortune of being able to meet so many different SIBO practitioners and get to know so many of you, that I've really got to know personality styles. And I'll say to my coaching clients, now, what kind of person do you like dealing with? Do you like someone that's really direct, really forthright, you know, says it as it is, doesn't mince their words? Or do you need someone that's very soft and caring and like a warm hug? Or do you need a male doctor? Do you need a female doctor? You know, I start to kind of build a bit of a profile around the type of person that they feel that will be the right personality fit. And then I give them, you know, well, here are the doctors that I know that fit that kind of category or many of those requirements that you have, so that then they're at least ahead of the curve, in the sense that they're going to doctors that I've already met, I know, I have some kind of relationship with them. And from a personality perspective, they might be a better fit for them. And I've seen that work really well, because if you are somebody that is feeling really fragile, and this is really common amongst the people I work with, they're sick, they've been disbelieved for a long time. Perhaps their family are even thinking, like, what's going on? Are you just a little bit of a Looney Tune? And then you've got a doctor who perhaps is so busy that they come across as dismissive, that you just feel really downtrodden. That if you can then get to a doctor that knows the gut and is caring and perhaps a little bit more gentle in their approach, it can give you the confidence then to believe in yourself to start that healing journey. And I've seen really great improvements when the right fit has occurred with a doctor and a patient.
You know, I have to say, it's a pretty rare chronic SIBO patient that wants the quick cut and dry, you know, tell me what to do and I'm out of here. That works for acute situations where, you know, you have some, like an acute urinary tract infection. Here's this antibiotic. I don't even need to see you again because it's going to be gone in 7 days. But anybody who's dealing with anything long term, you're going to need to have a nice relationship where they are more caring. It's a different situation.
Yeah, it is. Now, when I met you 5 years ago in Portland, when I flew over for the conference, I was lamenting the fact that, you know, in Australia, particularly at that time, and even in the US and UK, Europe, SIBO was just so unknown in relative terms. And we talked about, you know, our dreams of educating as many patients and practitioners as possible. And you've talked a little bit about the courses that you've developed, but I would love to hear more about it because I'm so excited that there is now a program by Dr. Alison Seebecker, the Queen of SIBO, where you can learn all of your knowledge and be empowered. So let's start with the patient course. Like, what is it? What as the patient would you get if you signed up to your program? I'm so intrigued and excited.
You're so sweet to ask. I know I always feel bad. Like, am I shilling my products here? But it's a wonderful, wonderful course. I mean, I think so, right? I taught it. So you get video lessons that I speak. And I did my patient course with Siobhan Sarna, who's a fellow patient advocate, SIBO sort of educator. There's a bunch of us in this sphere and we all, you know, support each other. And so we did it in interview style because it's just a little bit easier, a little bit more accessible to hear all this information in that form, kind of like what we're doing. So there's videos, and then the video lessons are, it's all online, are transcribed. You get the transcript. Some people would just prefer to skim or read. That's also very helpful because if you're looking for a specific thing, you can do the search function that you can do on documents. I think it's like Control F on my computer. It might be different on other people's. So that's helpful. And then you get audio in case, you know, you're having issues with watching videos or streaming or something like that. So you get the audio. And there's 37 lessons that I do. And it's not to try to tell you everything there is about SIBO. What it really is it's structured around the algorithm that myself and Dr. Sandberg Lewis created a very long time ago. It's an algorithm that was a variation of Dr. Pimentel's of how to treat IBS with SIBO. And we added some more naturopathic items to it and just added some other things as we've refined our treatment over the year. And it's really, the course is structured around that because it's really meant to be a step-by-step guide of how to treat SIBO. And we do also discuss trying to identify your underlying causes and how to handle your symptoms, because there's a couple layers of SIBO treatment. There's like the symptomatic level, there's head on getting rid of the bacteria, and then there's, well, what's causing all this? So we talk about all those angles. And then we include all kinds of extras. We have cooking classes. You contributed a cooking class to that in the course. And we have all these other like master classes I've done. Like, for instance, there's one that's like 2 hours I did on diet that's included. So you kind of just like most anything I've ever done, you get it in the course. And then I always do, whenever I have another, like, you know, enrollment period, I launch it, so to speak, a couple times a year. I add new question and answer sessions so that we really, they're like coaching sessions. But you know, a few of those for the people that have signed up, so we can have a little bit of an individual reaction to each other. So that's what it is. And it lives, you know, online, and you always have access to it. So you can rewatch it and there's, I've also forgot to mention, there's all kinds of handouts in there. I have handouts you can take to your doctor. Various studies, I think, would be the key ones to show if you're asking for a certain treatment, this supports it. And that has worked for a lot of people. And there's even like funny things, like one time I was talking to people and somebody was asking all about like desserts and cakes or something. And I'm like, I can't even answer your question, because are you saying you haven't had any cake and you're a SIBO, you think you can't have cake because you're a SIBO person patient? And I'm like, let me just give you my favorite cake recipes. And so, you know, I put handouts like that in there too. So
because, you know, life's too short without cake.
Oh my God. It was just my birthday this week, by the way. And I had a wonderful cake from I didn't make it and my husband didn't make it. I ordered it from a gluten-free bakery that has ingredients I can tolerate, and it was so good.
So good. Wonderful. Well, happy birthday, Alison.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that one of the questions I could just hear people saying is, how much time does this take? Is there a limit to the amount of time you get access to the course?
Right. No, you have it. You have access forever. And I keep putting updates in there. So, for instance, I just put in a hydrogen sulfide, which we'll get to, a hydrogen sulfide updates new lesson into the course. I just put it in there a couple of weeks ago. So as things occur, you'll always be updated. And what was the other question? Sort of how long they have? Oh, how much time it takes?
How much time?
Well, you know, that's what's kind of nice about it, because it's in smaller chunks. I did that with my patient course too, because it's too daunting to think about listening to just a big long thing. So it's in chunks, and everything is titled just as it is. So you can just go pick out whatever it is you want to listen to. And like, for instance, in the symptomatic relief section, obviously, if you're a diarrhea patient, you don't want to listen to the class on constipation, right? So you don't need to. So, but it was all designed as if you could get through it in a, I think that the bulk of the lessons are something like 5 hours or something. You could get through it in a matter of a month if you space it out. But it's not overwhelming, because you can tap into it where you want.
Yeah, wonderful. And I must say, I share your symptomatic relief guide handout from your website all the time to people who are like,
good.
What do I do if I've got constipation or I've got really bad diarrhea? So the fact that you've got actual online classes around that is just so great, because it's amazing how as soon as you start implementing that, you can really see a difference.
I mean, everybody should have symptomatic relief. You know, yeah, I think I speak for about an hour and 15, or maybe more than that, more than an hour and 15 minutes, taking you through that exact handout of what are all these remedies and how to apply them. You know, you can't do that in a handout, right? I mean, it's like, there's the basic information, but I like to explain it, so.
Yeah. That's really exciting. So we've got that as the patient course, and then you've got a practitioner course. And this is, we've had many conversations around, if only we could educate all the practitioners of the world so that they can all know about SIBO, and there's never a SIBO patient ever again that's got a doctor that's like, I don't know what SIBO is. And now you've got a course for the practitioner. So tell me more.
That was like a huge goal to get that accomplished, because it's I got it certified for continuing education in the U.S. for continuing medical education, which is the highest level. And so, you know, it took me a long time to make sure it was really up to those standards. It was a lot of hard work, but I got it done and I'm so happy. So for anyone who is in the U.S. and wants continuing education, at least we have that. It's accredited by the ACCME, which is wonderful. But it's the same format. It's these sort of small chunked video lessons with transcripts and audios. This one it's a lot longer. It's 22 hours, and I have guest lectures in there. Like, I have Dr. Sandberg Lewis explaining how to stop, how to help patients stop, get off proton pump inhibitors, you know, acid reducers. That's an issue with SIBO. That's not my specialty, so I brought him in to explain how to do that. There's about 80, actually really like more like 87 lessons, which I know sounds very daunting, but they're like 10 minutes a piece, you know, 10, 20 minutes for that same purpose. I mean, I'm a busy practitioner too. I know what it's like. You know, you need to just catch a lesson while you're eating your lunch, you know, 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there. So it's meant to fit around our schedules. Both of them are actually both courses. So same thing. And this one is more complete, because I explain all the pathophysiology, the differential diagnosis, just, you know, details of everything, but all from the practitioner perspective. And I don't give any unnecessary science. This is a bugaboo for me with classes that I've taken. It can be so fun to nerd out, but you know, our time is precious. And so the science that's included is all very specifically like you need it to understand what's going on in your patient and to inform your treatments. So I'm very results oriented, very clinical, practical. You know, for me, the whole goal is success. So, you know, getting people to feel better because I'm a SIBO patient. So that is the key thing. So the whole practitioner course is based on that. Lots of like checklists of communication, checklists of things not to forget to tell your patients. Because there's so much to do and, you know, we can forget to communicate things and it's just happened to me so many times. So I'm trying to spare people that, you know, having that happen to them. So it's wonderful. Cases, you know, all detailed treatments. There's so many options for treatment and in both courses. And it's certainly whenever we talk, I always like to share all the options. That's a big thing that is a problem if you just think there's one way to treat something. In fact, just a little sneak peek, I actually am creating a whole new conference that will be occurring in November of this year with completely brand new, totally alternative treatment approaches to SIBO that are totally off the beaten path, nothing antibacterial at all. So, you know, we just need to come at this in all different angles. So anyway, I give all the options for practitioners. And the main reason is in case you do have a tough case and what you're giving isn't working, I want you to have plan B, C, D, E, F. So yeah, it's a wonderful, wow. I'm very proud of it. It's a wonderful course.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I'm just thinking back to when we talked about this years ago, and it's so wonderful to see it actually come into fruition and how many more people will be helped because their practitioner has then, you know, learnt about this and learnt, you know, the A, B, C, D, E to Z variations around treatment. And I think that's one of the sad things I see is that I see people who, you know, they might have a methane dominant overgrowth and they go to a doctor who's like, I'll just put you on a 2-week course of rifaximin and that's it. And it's like, and they're saying to me, Rebecca, I feel so sick and nothing helped. I'm like, well, it's because it wasn't really the right form of treatment. And then this course can help educate practitioners around, well, why would you need to look at something else dependent on the type of SIBO the person has?
I know. And these, for us, these are the basics, right? So we just got to get them out to practitioners and patients. We got to get it to everybody so they don't have these stumbling blocks and they can feel better.
Exactly. Now, there's also some really exciting news and a new development that sadly is only available in the US at the moment. But what is it you were telling me before we went live? And I was so excited. That's a good question, hey? I've got loads more just like this coming up after this break. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Now, there's also some really exciting news and a new development that sadly is only available in the US at the moment. But what is it you were telling me before we went live? And I was so excited.
It's the fact that we now have breath testing, which is our main SIBO testing, for hydrogen sulfide. So this technology needed to be invented. And it's been, Dr. Pimentel has been working on this for honestly as long as I've known him. And some other labs have been too, but it's difficult. And it took a long time to get it figured out, and he finally did. And he's had several studies. This test has been in research for a few years, and he's had several studies come out using this test, and he's been able to find some new information. He's been able to find that hydrogen sulfide correlates with diarrhea, heartburn, and abdominal pain. So these are all very interesting. And anyway, the test is finally commercially available. So it's being offered by Gemelli Labs, and so far only in the U.S. But I asked them about that, and they said soon enough, you know, I don't know when. I wouldn't want to give a timeline, but in near future, they are going to be offering the machines to sell to practitioners to have in their office, and then that will allow it to go into other parts of the world, because then local doctors can analyze that gas. The issue is shipping it long distances. It degrades over a certain amount of time, and it has to be analyzed fairly quickly. So they haven't, you know, they just weren't able to work that out yet. So at least for us in the U.S., it's thrilling, because so far what the studies have shown is about 25% of people, they've been testing just sort of everyone who comes through their doors, will have hydrogen sulfide. So, you know, it's not the largest proportion. But I think where it really comes into play is people who are having difficulty with their treatment. Things aren't working well. It's stubborn, it's chronic, or, you know, you thought you had a negative test, but it sure seems to fit like it's SIBO, and, you know, now you don't know what it is. Well, maybe it was missed because we never tested for this gas because we couldn't. So previously, the way we would know if somebody had hydrogen sulfide is by a flat line pattern on a regular breath test. The flat line indicated no gas because all of, in theory here, all of the gas was being converted to hydrogen sulfide, and we weren't testing for that gas. So it just showed like nothing was there. And what I had learned from Dr. Pimentel and his research efforts, what they were finding is that was missing the majority of people who actually had hydrogen sulfide. So we, you know, just the teeny percentage of people we could identify. So my excitement about this is, think of all these difficult cases or whatever, like I'm going to do the test myself. I still have chronic SIBO, but I'm not a really difficult case because I'm well managed in my symptoms and everything. And I'm happy and productive, but I'm going to do it because I want to know, well, do I have hydrogen sulfide? You know, I think so many of us want to know that, like, let's find out. So I think that's what it's so incredible for. If whomever's listening, if you have access to it, that is what I would recommend, because that's your full proper assessment. Oh, and by the way, the test is called TrioSmart for three gases, because it tests hydrogen, methane, and hydrogen sulfide. So right now it's available from Gemelli. I believe that I've heard through the grapevine that other labs will be following suit. I don't know when. So, but right now it's from Gemelli, and I'm thrilled.
I'm so excited. I just wish it was in Australia. I'll have to bide my time and wait for it. But I think, you know, coming back to where we started this conversation around, is SIBO real? I think this will be great for those people who did a hydrogen or methane test and it came back as a negative, and the doctor was like, see, I told you don't have SIBO. And the person's like, but I really feel like I do. Well, perhaps it was hydrogen sulfide SIBO all along and we just couldn't test it. And then this comes back to, actually, well, yes, it is real. Now we can test for it. So that's exciting.
Uh-huh. Yep. And the other, for me, exciting development that's new is the fact that, if it's okay, I move on. Because I could talk about the hydrogen sulfide test a really long time.
No, I'd love to hear more about what else is happening in the world of SIBO.
There's a study that came out from Dr. Pimentel. Those of us, you know, familiar with his work were eagerly awaiting it. It just took so long to come out. His research group, you know, for anyone who may not know, Dr. Pimentel is sort of like the leading researcher in the world on SIBO, which is why I keep mentioning him so much. We're all so grateful to him for all his advances. Well, his team, they've begun a large research project called Reimagine, where what they're doing is analyzing the small bowel for the microbiome and many other things. All the microbiome studies that have been done before were done on stool, which really only represents the very end of the large intestine. So, you know, people say, oh, the human intestinal microbiome has been mapped. But Dr. Pimentel was able to publish and show that it hasn't, because they didn't ever look at the small intestine. And part of the problem was that sampling bacteria from the small intestine is faulty. And so what he first did was he figured out a way to be more accurate in the sampling. He had to change the methods of sampling, and he had to have that validated and show that this was an improvement. And so then he used those improved techniques to sample and has been getting all kinds of amazing information. But as it pertains to SIBO, they sampled SIBO patients and they were able to get more bacteria now that were there and at deeper layers, like up against the lining of the wall. And they were able to validate. So when they get that bacteria, there's a couple of ways they can analyze it. They can culture it out and grow it, or they can analyze it for DNA, like gene deep sequencing, basically it's called. And they did both of those tests along with the breath test, the lactulose breath test, and they all three correlated. And that's really some of the first time that that's happened. And the main reason why is because the culture test was so faulty. And now that these techniques are improved, all three of these tests are lining up. And so this is a huge step forward in proving that SIBO is real. I mean, he has been able to prove it for years and years with all his studies, but this one is like irrefutable. Well, honestly, most of them have been irrefutable, but this is even more irrefutable. The problem with people who say it's not real is that they haven't read these studies, so they're not familiar with them. That's the problem, but he just keeps churning them out, you know? So this one is really, really incredible. It validates the use of the breath test, that it accurately represents and diagnoses SIBO, and also the condition itself. And he was able to identify which bacteria are most overgrown, at least in hydrogen SIBO. He already knew for methane. And in hydrogen, it's E. coli, Klebsiella, and Aeromonas. And that helps us because we can better target treatments. Although, honestly, the very treatments we've had this whole time, we know work on those. And he was, you know, able to find out a bunch of other really interesting things, like which bacteria correlated with symptoms. You know, he was able to find that the E. coli and the Klebsiella correlated with urgency in having diarrhea. And the Aeromonas, that was the Aeromonas. The urgency and the Klebsiella and E. coli with bloating. And finally, the last thing he was able to show is that the hydrogen production pathways, the metabolic pathways within these overgrown bacteria were actually upregulated in the SIBO bacteria, in the bacteria living in the small intestine in the SIBO patients compared to healthy people. So he compared the difference, and the bacteria were actually acting differently. They were making more gas. So because it's the gas that produces all the symptoms, the bloating, the diarrhea, and on and on and on, the pain, etc. So amazing.
Wow. And I mean, isn't it? It's so exciting. I remember saying, you know, when I first discovered about SIBO, that I was so excited for the studies and the research that were coming in the future and the more information that would be available to us in the future. And this study by Pimentel is just so interesting, fascinating.
You know, I first saw that it was presented by one of their team, Dr. Leet, at the Digestive Disease Week conference. This is the big gastroenterology conference. It's where they publish all their important work for the year, and it's in June every year. And I was able to watch the presentation on video, and it was like they give them like 20 minutes at best, right? And she spoke so fast, and I was just like, my jaw was on the ground, like every other word. I was like, oh my God, you know, I couldn't believe everything they were finding. And then we had to wait basically a year and a half until it got published, you know, so now it's finally out. And Dr. Pimentel did tell me that this is just the first in a series. There'll be more articles from the work they did was immense, so.
And this is where, you know, again, if your practitioner perhaps has been so busy they haven't kept up with the latest research, that we can share articles like this if we feel, you know, comfortable, or maybe we just go and find a different practitioner. But if we've got a good relationship or a reasonable relationship, we can always be like, hey, doc, there's this really exciting piece of work that's come out of the States or by Dr. Pimentel and his team. Here's the link. And you know, sometimes we have to help kind of lift up our practitioners because they're so busy with so many competing demands. And if they're interested and they want to learn more, then they'll be like, yep, thanks so much. Or we just tell them to go and do Dr. Alison Seebecker's practitioner course, and that will also help educate them.
I'd love to have anybody. You know, I don't know how many of of the people listening receive my quarterly newsletter, but that's another little thing. I just sent it out like a couple of weeks ago or a week ago, and I did put bullet points of what this article had to say, and you're welcome to just copy those. And then if you're emailing the article to your doc, you can say, look, here's what this showed. Because what if they don't read the article, but they just read the bullet points, you know? So that's another thing you could do.
That's a really great reminder. I've been a subscriber to your newsletter for a long time. And if you haven't yet signed up, you just head to SIBOinfo.com and you can join Dr. Alison Seebecker's newsletter there. And it is just jam-packed full of really interesting information and links to all the research and, you know, quick little summaries about what they say. So it's a great place to keep abreast of current research and current things in the life of SIBO land. Now, we've got just a few minutes left. Thank you, everybody, who has been putting in questions. I'll do my best to get through as many as I can. I don't know I'll get through all of them because there are a lot here. But we'll start working our way through these in the last few minutes that we've got with our call with each other. And Rachel has asked, and I think this is a common question where people want to know the correlation between one condition and another. So she's saying, is there a connection or a correlation between SIBO and diverticulitis?
Why, yes. In fact, diverticulitis is a cause of SIBO. So for those who may not know, it's little like out pouches or pockets along the lining of the intestine. And it's more common in the large intestine. But if you imagine a little pocket on the edge or the outer lining of the intestines, you can easily imagine how bacteria could get in there and then just stay in there. And basically, it's a localized pocket of SIBO. It's a bacterial overgrowth in that. But often, most people will have many of them, multiple diverticuli all over their intestine. And then they can have all these pockets of basically SIBO that generate symptoms. So it is a primary underlying cause of SIBO when it's in the small intestine. And in fact, one of the mainstay treatments for diverticulosis is rifaximin. Why would that be? And antibiotics, because there's bacterial overgrowth. So yeah. This can be potentially addressed with surgery, you know, the underlying cause. But yes, that's the relationship.
Yeah, great. So Bree has asked, you know, we've talked a lot about hydrogen sulfide. We're so excited that there's now finally a test you can do. But she's saying, well, how do I treat it if I come back positive? Now
I know. I have all of that in both my courses, but I'm going to give you a brief summary. Because we haven't had the test yet, the treatments are very ad hoc. Every doctor who's, you know, focused on this has sort of developed some of their own. And so I actually share all of them because I talk to all my colleagues and, and everybody has amazing ideas. So Dr. Pimentel all along had recommended just treating it like you would the regular SIBO with either rifaximin for the diarrhea type or rifaximin plus neomycin or metronidazole for the constipation type. And then for the herbal antibiotics, we have a similar thing. We can use berberine, oregano, or neem for the hydrogen type, diarrhea type. And then you simply choose one of them and add Allicin, or the product would be Alimed or Alimax Pro or something like that, for the constipation type. And so he always did that. And I found out that that has never worked for my hydrogen sulfide patients. So that's what he recommended. I found out that that has worked for Dr. Sandberg Lewis and Dr. Weinstock and I think Dr. Kangura. So apparently I am the only one that hasn't worked for. But I'll tell you what, it has caused me to dig and try to figure out what to do. So what I found years ago in articles was bismuth. Bismuth can bind sulfide and sort of like bring it out of the intestines. So I have used compounded bismuth, and you can also use it with an antibiotic or an herbal antibiotic, and that has been very successful. It's a little confusing as to what it's really doing. Is it really getting rid of the bacteria, or is it just getting rid of the sulfide? I don't know. I've had some cases that have stayed successful, so maybe it is also getting rid of the bacteria. But it's not always easy to get compounded bismuth, and that's a prescription. So I have, for many patients in various countries with little access, I have used things like Pepto-Bismol. You know, where can we get them some bismuth? I don't like using that because it has aspirin, it has salicylic acid, and I don't really want to be dosing someone with that when they don't need it. It can, you know, it can harm the lining of the stomach if you use too much of that aspirin. But I have had success with that. So it's sort of like you do what you need to do. For those people in the States, Target, the store Target has one that's called Five Symptom. Their own brand is called Up and Up, Five Symptom Digestive Relief. And it's basically Pepto-Bismol in a capsule. So then you don't have to drink the liquid that has all the sugar alcohols that could bother SIBO. So there's things like that. Now, one of the other things I found very successful is high dose oregano. And this was an old blastocystis hominis treatment that came from the chiropractic world. And so the product I use is ADP. I don't really know what that stands for. It's by Biotics. This is just the one I've used. And it's 5 tablets 3 times a day for the first 10 days. So that's a lot. And then for the next 20 days, you switch down to 3 tablets 3 times a day. That's worked for a lot of people. There's more treatments, but those are just some things to start you with. So I have, you know, whole lessons on this if you do wind up joining in with me, and I hope people will come and join with me.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll be sharing the link to the to both the practitioner and the patient courses in the notes, so make sure you keep an eye out for that. Maxime says, why does muscle weakness and restless legs occur with SIBO, and would the elemental diet be a more effective way of treating this than, say, the herbal protocols or rifaximin?
So with restless legs, there's a definite correlation. Actually, Dr. Weinstock has done articles on this. And what we think it is a relationship with how SIBO can lead to anemia. And restless legs occurs with anemia. And so we think that's the connection there. The muscle weakness itself, I'm not as sure about. But we have very good articles and studies showing the connection with SIBO and anemia. And SIBO has all these ways in which it can create anemia and also chronic low ferritin. And these are some of the things we see improve on blood tests when we treat the SIBO. And in terms of what the treatment would be, I don't find that necessarily per condition like this, that it matters which type of treatment you do. I find them all to be equally successful. So, you know, we have pharmaceutical antibiotics, herbal antibiotics, and elemental diet. It's really a matter of matching that to the person. But like if somebody had, you know, SIBO from diabetes or SIBO from diverticulitis or SIBO and restless legs, we wouldn't need to pick elemental diet versus antibiotics or herbal antibiotics one over the other for any of them. It's more about the person themselves and what their history has been and what's going to be suitable for that individual.
And the elemental diet is a challenge. If anybody wants to watch my own experience with it, I've got my 14 days on the Integrative Therapeutics Physician's Formula Dextrose Free that I vlogged my way through my 14 days. So it's on the Healthy Gut YouTube channel. And I shared everything, the highs, the lows, and everything in between. I wanted to be really honest about the experience. And, you know, it's challenging. You don't eat for 2 weeks. That's really tough. Especially when you love food like I do.
You know, I've never done it, which is amazing that I have never done it. But and I love food, so I eat a lot, and often I eat. But I do just want to say that I do have patients that reported to me they did not find it challenging, which blows my mind. And it's like, particularly it was people who find eating to be a nuisance. And they're very busy. They often have like a lot of kids and a, you know, intense job. And they're like, it was so great. I didn't even have to think about my meal preparation or eating. And I loved it. And I was like, wow, more power to you.
Yeah. I must admit that was a really lovely side of it, that you didn't have to think about food. You didn't have to cook. Your washing up was your blender. That's it. And it was just I saved so much time. You didn't have to go grocery shopping, like nothing. It was just scoop, water, ice, blend, done. So from that perspective, it is good. I missed the chewing. That was the thing I missed out of everything, the chewing. I wanted to chew something. So I would like sip and chew my drink just to give me something. It's not the same though.
Really, really interesting. You know, my partner in crime, so to speak, Dr. Sandberg Lewis, he's always talking about chewing as, you know, as a digestive, you know, gastroenterology expert. And he says that chewing tricks your brain into thinking that you're safe. Isn't that interesting? Because it's the way it puts you into parasympathetic, basically. Because when you are chewing, you're in digestion mode. And so it's actually a very healthy, good thing. And, you know, the more chewing, the better. You know, he, like many of our elder gastroenterologists, say we should chew our food into liquid, which is really impossible. I think we all know that, but they say we should try. So that's one of the benefits, is that it really is good for our calming parasympathetic nervous system.
Yeah, it really is. Now, this is an interesting question, and I'm actually intrigued by this, so this is why I'm going to ask it. You might not know the answer, but let's see. So Joel says he does iliocecal valve massaging, so self-abdominal massaging, and he says he gets a wishy-washy sound when he massages that area. Is that a sign of relapse or poor migrating motor complex? I've never had anyone ask a question like that before, and I'm actually intrigued.
I love it. And I missed one word. It was, what was the R word? Was it relapse or migrating motor complex?
He said, is this wishy-washy sound around his iliocecal valve the sign of relapse or just poor migrating motor complex?
Well, if anything relating to the migrating motor complex, I think it would be a good sign. Because, I'm drawing at straws here because the migrating motor complex often does make noise, and it can be associated with those hunger sounds, which isn't necessarily a wishy-washy because that's more, I think, fluid, you know, but, noise is often a good sign in the intestines, but if it's a fluidy sound, that makes me wonder if the iliocecal valve might be atonic and a little bit open, and then you're hearing things move back and forth through it. This is just off the fly, I'm thinking of this. And if that was to be the case, then, you know, that can be a risk factor for SIBO. You want your iliocecal valve to be closed unless things are moving through it. So, but I'm going to keep this in mind and see if I can figure anything else out about it.
Yeah, I haven't had anyone ask me a question like that before, so I was absolutely intrigued. Thank you for intriguing for both of us, Joel. That was really interesting. And then we've got time for one more question. So Christina has asked, is there a connection or correlation between SIBO and vein compression, such as May-Thurner syndrome?
I do not know what that is. May-Thurner?
I haven't heard of it either, yeah.
I do not know what that is. So let me just ponder vein compression. Well, you know, what it brings to mind is superior mesenteric artery syndrome. That's not a vein. It's an artery. But, you know, basically, if a piece of anatomy like that artery or potentially a vein is pressing on the small intestine in such a way that it's narrowing the opening there, that can cause SIBO. So without knowing anything about this syndrome, I can say if it has the potential to do that, then that could be a connection, because that's one of the underlying causes of SIBO is compression of the small intestine itself. And then we get basically a log jam. We get an obstruction. Bacteria can build up behind it. And superior mesenteric artery syndrome is rare, but I've seen, you know, 5 people with it. So as a specialist, so that's a cause of SIBO.
Yeah. You know,
not many people have it, but.
But us SIBO folk, we're a little bit special, so we often have the more interesting things out there.
We are.
We are. Dr. Alison Seebecker, thank you so much for coming on to this Facebook Live and also the 101st episode of the Healthy Gut Podcast and the final episode of the podcast for season 3. So a huge thank you because you came on at the start of the season and shared so much information around hydrogen dominant SIBO and methane dominant, now intestinal methanogen overgrowth, as we call it. So if you haven't listened to that, do go back to episodes 83 and 84. And it's great to end out the season with answering that question, is SIBO real? And hearing more about your courses. So thanks so much for coming on. It's been a joy to have you back on the show.
Oh, I just thank you so much. And thank you everyone for your interest. And I really hope you'll find help with things that I share and that Rebecca shares and all of our resources for you. And I guess I would just want anyone listening to know who might happen to have SIBO that we have it too. And there's good hope, right, for improvement.
Yeah, both Alison and I are those chronic cases where we've got, you know, other issues that mean that our bodies, we're not a once and done solution with our bodies, sadly, but we both live great lives. We both feel great. So, you know, just because we can have this kind of chronic case doesn't mean that there's no light at the end of the tunnel, and we're both testament to that. So, you know, don't lose hope, everybody. Regardless of where you are on the journey, you can feel better. And Alice and I are total examples of that. I feel fantastic, and I still have SIBO coming back every year. So, yeah, you can still have a good life. And it's definitely real.
It's real. I don't care what you call it. We can rename it emo and, you know, all these divided into things. It's a real condition that responds to real treatment and people can feel better.
Yeah, it does. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. Thank you to everyone that submitted questions. I'm sorry we didn't get through all of them. There were so many. I'll do my best to go and respond to those that I can after the show. And I'll be sharing the links to Dr. Alison Seebecker's practitioner and patient SIBO courses. So check out the links for that. And if you're interested, you know, by all means, sign up. But thanks for tuning in, everybody. And I look forward to bringing you season 4 of the Healthy Gut Podcast sometime in 2021. Until then, I'll see you soon. Bye, everyone. You've been listening to the Healthy Gut Podcast with your host, Rebecca Coombs. To learn more about the Healthy Gut or our podcast, head to thehealthygut.com/podcast. We would like to thank Red Lemon Productions for the production and original music score of this podcast. To find out more about their services, head to redlemonproductions.com. The Healthy Gut Podcast is a production of The Healthy Gut. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.